Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. It's not often I open with a trigger warning. Kenny Sacht and his team rescue women and girls from the sex trade in the Philippines. Some of our conversation is raw, some is a little graphic. If you feel any of this might be triggering, please close this episode and take a look at one of the last number of episodes. There's quite a variety that have very different content than this conversation. Kenny Sacht is very immersed in that Christian Jesus thing. And that's not being disrespectful. He uses that term during our conversation. Kenny also says, "All glory to God." And I'm good with that. But having heard his story now about the work he does and the impact his organization has, Kenny Sacht and Wipe Every Tear need to take a bow as well. So listen now, and if you're unable to do anything else, share this episode. Kenny's calling needs to be recognized. Some time ago, I listened to a conversation on talk radio that both fascinated and horrified me. It was interesting that a short time later, today's guest came on my radar. Our conversation today might not be bright, but it will be one of hope. I will tell you straight up, we are discussing human sex trafficking, some victims of which are just girls. So if you might find this conversation triggering, please hop over to boomerthebang.com, click on the podcast drop-down, age-related resources, where you'll find other episodes listed by topic, and you can listen to a more suitable episode. And I'll see you back here next week. Kenny was a high school teacher when the reality of human sex trafficking crossed his path. Like many of us, he had the thought, if these girls were my daughters, how would I want someone to treat them and come to their rescue? Perhaps that tells you what came next, but let's hear it from Kenny himself. Kenny Sacht, thank you for joining me today on the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Thank you, Agnes. It's really a joy and honor to be with you today. Thank you so much.
You were a school teacher. Can you tell us about that journey from school teacher to advocate for these girls and women?
Yeah. Well, not teaching school anymore, but that's been a number of years ago now. But I was a basketball coach and high school teacher in a Christian high school here in Boise. And in 2012, we took a team of a boys basketball team to work with in the Philippines with a church in the slums. And it was going to be one of those, you know, outreach type things, like a basketball camp that we have here in America. But they were looking for Americans to come and partner with them and do this. And so, you know, you reach out to the kids in your slum. And we're talking kids, we're talking high school and above. And so we took a team of basketball players, big, tall American kids, you know, and little tiny Filipinos. They're very small people. In fact, me, I was a point guard kind of guy. I was small, 5'10", and 5'11", kind of guy. And I towered over so many people there. So we took this team there, and then the next year I brought a, that was in 2007. In 2008, I took a volleyball team. I wanted to get our girls there. And so I took a volleyball team, did the same kind of thing. And then I started to get a little glimpse of God's heart for the poor and the broken. And then I came home. You're getting the quick little nutshell story here. But in 2008, we came home. We were gone for 2 weeks. Came home, and that winter of 2008, in cold Boise here, one cold night, I was on my computer. My wife was all in bed. My kids were all in bed, and a pop-up came up back in the pop-up days, and it said, "Sex trafficking." And I remember right-hand corner, and I thought, "What, sex trafficking?" Or it might have said human trafficking. And I went, I know what trafficking is, but how do you traffic a human? I clicked and I clicked and I clicked. And that took me on a three-year journey beginning that evening, where I was found crying on my laptop. It was in my lap. And there were tears on my keyboard as I began to read the stories about girls and women being trafficked in the sex trade. And my heart broke that night, and has been broke many times since. And that began me on the journey.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ask the first question that popped into my mind when I heard the piece on talk radio. I'll go out on a limb and suggest that many of the organizers, the main players of these trafficking rings, are probably men. I know there's going to be women involved, but now, is there any fear from these girls, especially in the beginning, about possible aid coming from another man? I realize now your organization's big enough. You've probably got lots of people.
Yeah, but... right. We have a Filipina, which is female staff in the Philippines. In the earlier days, it was, you know, we started in 2012. I went on a 3-year journey of learning about the sex trade. And then it was in one of our trips, a volleyball trip that I went with high school kids, by the way, had a high school volleyball team, and their parents all went thumbs up. Like, yep, we trust you. Imagine like, hey, by the way, we're going to do this volleyball trip with the church there. And then we're going to take off after a week. We're going to take off with your daughters and go look for the sex trade. And I gathered all the parents, you know, in the evening, and they had trusted me. I had a good reputation, and they all went, you know what? You've never let us down, so we totally trust you. And they said, you know, and that's what God would do. You know, God, you know, take risk. And so we did. So to your question, do these girls hesitate? In the earlier days, they did, and they still hesitate to this day. But not like they used to be, because since then we've started feeding hundreds of meals during the week to these bars. We fix meals and we deliver them right to the bars. They're hungry, you know, and we've developed a reputation. You know, we're not a Bible thumping in your face, you're going to hell kind of people. We're just people filled with great love, and we go in with our smiles and we offer these girls a way out, and so. They trust us, but the hard thing to get them into our care is that there's such great poverty. They've been trafficked, and now they're in this situation, and they do have some income, and they're sending that home to their parents. So you kind of got a little mouthful there, kind of a little conglomeration of what the feeling is right now for girls that are confronted with us and the opportunity to have a new life.
Right. What's your knowledge about how these girls end up getting trafficked?
Yeah. You know, Agnes, it's not like Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood is accurate in the area of, like, let's say a movie called Taken, or maybe I'm not much of a movie guy, so I haven't seen many movies. In fact, I've never seen Taken. I just know I hurt so bad when I see these movies. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. It's horrendous. So I know the premise of those movies is that they go in and they snatch girls and then they throw them in a vehicle and they take them away kicking and screaming. Now that does happen, but that is so tiny. Over 90%, I'm going to say 95, 98, 99% of trafficking throughout the world is it's called exploitation of vulnerability. Now that sounds like a big highfalutin terminology, but it's you exploit a girl who has some kind of vulnerability. And so her vulnerability is that she's in a third world developing nation. She lives in the province, which is the countryside, a long ways away. And people go through, we'll call them traffickers, or just people that go through offering these girls jobs and whatnot. And so they exploit their need for money. I mean, we're talking the economy is not good in the third world, but in the Philippines, it's not good. And so you prey on these girls, these families who have great need. So a person, a neighbor, it could be a neighbor even who found out about this. They, you know, they will get finder's fee for delivering these girls. It's really terrible. And so they will be offered, or they will offer these girls jobs in hotels, restaurants, you know, a lot of tourism in the Philippines. That's a, you know, it's a very beautiful nation. Lots of, you know, beautiful palm trees and coconut trees on the ocean. Kind of, there are 7,000 islands. It's just a beautiful place. And the girl's immediate response is, oh, I don't have a college degree. You see, because in the Philippines, you have to have a college degree to work at McDonald's, to work at a kiosk in a mall selling peanuts, and I'm not exaggerating, right? To work at a little smoothie thing, you know, you're making smoothies. You have to have a college degree. Why is that supply and demand? There's over 100 million people in the Philippines, a very small nation, 7,000 islands. And so employers can choose the brightest and the best. And so that's how supply and demand work. So the girl says, I don't have a college degree. And then they say, oh, there's such a demand for workers that we don't require a college degree. And now they've got her. And she goes, what? Like, I could work. All I have is a ninth grade education, if that. Sometimes they have a fourth grade education. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Just come. They give them money. They leave. And a few days later, it could be a few days or it could be a couple of weeks till they, you know, get their papers and whatnot, their birth certificate and whatnot. You have to be 18. By the way, prostitution, sex trade, et cetera, is illegal in the Philippines, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere by the thousands. She arrives, and I'll give you the real story of one of our girls. They all call me coach. I was a basketball coach. They all call me coach. Coach. I arrived. It took me almost 3 days to arrive through a boat, bus, motorcycle, Jeep, and tricycle. Almost 3 days, almost 70 hours. She goes, they gave me, I was so tired, they let me sleep. And so then I woke up the next morning, they said, meet us at this address, give me a piece of paper. I met, and it was a bar. And she looked around, she's telling me this story. And she goes, Coach, I said, like, why are we meeting in a bar? And the lady says, oh, you arrived too late. Those jobs are already taken. If you would have got here yesterday, you could have got those jobs. But now that we paid for your trip here, you need to pay it off. And in this case, she looked at a box, and this is how she said it. She looked at a box in the corner of the room that they're in and said, grab one of those bikinis and I'll see you out there in an hour. She's crying, telling me the story. She was just, tears just falling down, streaming down her cheeks. And she goes, Coach, they tricked me. That's how the majority of girls get into the sex trade in the Philippines and the third world.
Yeah. Yeah. The story that I heard about this other person's first girl was she had been promised, I think, a job nannying or something, or housekeeping.
Yes.
And it ended up though being like a 24/7 job, and nobody can keep that up for 24/7. So it was when she wanted to leave that they said, because they hadn't been paying her either, of course. She had room and board, but that was it. And when she tried to leave or wanted to leave, they said, well, you owe us too much now. And then she had no choice either. But for some of these girls from, you called it the province or something, like the more rural, smaller areas,
yes,
prostitution probably doesn't even come across their radar.
No, they don't even think about it. I mean, it's everywhere, but you know, they're living a very, very low stress as far as, you know, they're living in the islands, you know, and the stress comes from, you know, a desire to eat and have food, but it's a very kickback culture, laid back culture. And so, They don't see the lights. I mean, we're talking about Angeles City, Philippines, where there's over 250 bars and 12,000 girls. And, you know, the lights are flickering. It's like, I always say third world Vegas. Imagine Las Vegas, but just picture that in the third world island nation with lots of girls and lots of tourists, lots of men coming from all over the world on sex vacations. And she just gets trapped and they can't go to the police there. You know, the police in, you know, in America and Canada, the police are known as the good guys to go to run to for help. You know, Agnes, I found that that's not, in my travels, I found that's not the case in many, many nations. The police are all on the take. And they can't run to the police because there are stories of taking these girls because the police know that, oh, it's one of those girls. And there are stories that are, they take the girl in the back room and the guys will rape her. I've heard stories like that. And so they don't go to the police. And so now they're just stuck. And that's how a girl gets trafficked.
Is there the other end of the stigma too, where sometimes they, even if they could break free or pay it off or whatever, they can't go back home because now they're ruined, you know, they're...
Yeah, right. And that happens sometimes, but the majority of girls that we come across, vast majority, not just like 51%, their parents do not know. They've told their parents that they're working in a hotel or restaurant. Okay. Very unlike. Now, we used to be in Thailand as well. In Thailand, you have a Hindu Buddhist culture, and there's no value for, very little value for the person, for a girl and protecting her. They're just a person, you know, you're going to be reincarnated. So there's just no value. In the Philippines, they have a Roman Catholic influence, high Roman Catholic. You know, you had, you know, colonized, you know, by Spain. And so they have that Roman Catholic culture. And so all that to say is that, and for our benefit too, is that there's a value of the human life and dignity. And so they don't tell their parents. Very few. We have seen very few parents and family members know that their daughter, their sibling is in the sex trade. They just don't say it.
Okay, tell us about Wipe Every Tear. That seems to be the next part of this progression.
Well, you know, you got a broken heart. I told you about my broken heart seeing this. And every time, and so then I went, you know, we went with that team in 2011, we took that team and to go find the sex trade with high school kids. And that's, I was so broke again. I was so broke. I just bawling and sobbing and crying. My wife was on that trip. And
now, what about the girls on that trip? Because these would be basically their peers.
Yes. These are mostly 17 and 18 year old girls that are on my trip.
Yeah. The girls that they're looking, the sex trade girls too. Would be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they are the same age. You know, and that's why we took high school kids. Like, no, you know what? I say nobody would do that. I mean, maybe there are some people that would do that, but there's not many people who are going to take high school kids and go look for the sex trade. Right. But we did with these guys. We, you know, the parents, like I said, and my administration said, "Thumbs up. Let's go do it. Let's go do it." But yeah, it was very beneficial for us having girls that were their age, going in and doing that. And we take girls that age now. You know, we do mission trips and whatnot, and where we take. So Filipinos cannot, check this out. Filipinos cannot get into the bars. Filipino man cannot get into these bars. They're only open to foreigners. Only foreigners can get in these bars. So we do these mission teams where people get, we do teams periodically throughout the year from churches, businesses, individuals from around the country and around the world. And they come and we do these teams and we go into the bars and, you know, with these teams and it's really good. We have a lot of fun doing it. There's great joy. There's great joy in bringing someone hope. I mean, these girls are trapped, you know? So we have such great great joy. And we'll even, I tell people, you have to laugh. You just can't just be, you know, just forlorn and like, oh me, oh my, you know? And so we go in with hope and joy and whatnot. But anyway, to your question about the teenagers, yeah, there's a lot of teenagers in these bars. And so Wipe Every Tear developed. We had no idea what we're going to do. I just knew that I need to do something. I told God that night in 2008 when I saw it online, my laptop sitting right there, just seeing this stuff. And it wasn't very sexual or whatever. I was just reading about it, you know, and you know, tears coming down my cheeks, rolling down on my keyboard. I just said, God, would there be some way that I could just like get one of these girls out of these bars, give her a new life? And I told God that night, I said, God, I'll do anything. I raised my hand. I said, God, I'll do, you know, the hand of my heart, you know, God, I'll do anything if I could get a girl free from the sex trade. Wipe Every Tear was born. And, you know, we got a safe house. We hired one person there in the Philippines, a woman. Her name was Becky, Filipino gal. We hired her. We rented a house. We started out with nothing. We had nothing. And we just went after one girl at a time. And we got four girls within 3 months. We got four girls in three months. And we had those girls for about a year before we got our next girl. And that's when we started going to Angeles City, and where it's flashing lights and thousands of girls and lining the streets and the bars, but you know, and we just offer them new life, and we pay for everything. We pay for their housing. You know, we have safe houses for them, a good bed, a fan. You know, that's a big deal, by the way, to be able to have a fan. And you'll pay for the electricity for that? Yes, we will. You know, I went into this, Agnes, going, okay, if my girl were here in the Philippines, if she was a Filipina young girl, young woman, how would I want someone to treat her? And I went, that's how I'm going to treat these girls. I want them to be treated as if they were my own daughters. So we get them a nice mattress, you know, a nice cushioned mattress, a pillow. I had a girl recently say, pillows? You give us pillows? And then I saw her the next day and she says, Coach, I messaged a friend of mine and I said, they give us a bed and they even give us pillows. And I thought, oh, she was so grateful that we give her a pillow. And so you're getting a snapshot here. You know, we enroll them in school, whatever grade they could, they might need all of their elementary school. We put them in high school. And then with the hopes and desire and goal of seeing them enroll in college and walk across the stage with a diploma in their hand and a completely new life.
Is there any fear of retribution from the traffickers? Like,
great question. Yeah, often asked question. Sometimes there is. But... Agnes, there's no way to explain this away because people say, like, are you scared? Do you get threatened by these traffickers? I mean, you're taking away their livelihood. And I'm telling you, Agnes, we've had a supernatural protection over us. Do you know we've been doing this for 13 years, going into these bars? For those thinking about, like, I might want to come on one of these trips. We've never had one person threaten us. Never one time, never with a, you know, pulling out a knife. Here's my ballpoint pen, a knife, you know, like, whoosh. Never a gun pulled out. Never even a fist saying, get out of this bar. We've been asked nicely, like, if you could not come in our bar. Only two bars have ever done that to us. And so we offer the girl a way out. Sometimes it's hard. Or I should say oftentimes it's hard because she's going, I'll lose my income. My family's relying on me. But we help them understand that, you know, you're not paying for your housing anymore. You're not paying for your food. We pay for all that. They begin to see it. We give them a daily allowance. And so they get a regular, you know, so many pesos. It's Filipino peso per day. And we try to give them like a little financial aid package. They look at it and go like, okay, you know, I think I can do this. They say yes. And they have to oftentimes sneak out, you know, like just not show up for work the next day or sneak out of the facility they're in. And we've had to help them get out sometimes, you know, to help them get out. But that's kind of a snapshot. And then they get in our care and, you know, they encounter Jesus, the God of the Bible. And then we just love our girls. We train them with lots of different things. You know, English is a big deal. You know, the better English you have, the more places you're going to be hired once you do graduate. And we have a really good time with our girls. I love them like my own daughters. I just love them.
wish this was a video interview because your face really does light up with when you
thank you.
Yeah. I was wondering about the girls because they would have a lot of fear as well, because if they didn't make it to your safe house, then they could well be like really punished. Like if they try to get there.
Escape. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have to help them get out. And that, you know, we've had to go early, you know, but usually they can just get out on their own. They just don't show up, or they say, you know, I need to, they'll make an excuse. Like, I need to go away to the province. My children are sick. Half of the girls that we encounter have children, or they'll say my sibling is sick. They need my attention. And they go. The ones where they have more of a, you know, a lock and key, that's not real common, but it is, it does happen. They have to finagle their way out or wake up really early and grab what they can, their clothes. They don't have much. Usually it's like a little Walmart bag or two. Oftentimes nothing. They have nothing. They have a little purse. And they just get out at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we tell them we're going to meet you at this location. And so we have people that'll meet them there and let them know they're going to be safe, and transfer them in a vehicle and take them to a nice place and feed them. And then they'll deliver them to Manila. This is about an hour and a half away where our safe houses are. And they're nervous. They're nervous, but not as nervous as they used to be, because they see us in the bars regularly feeding them. They used to be sometimes just trembling, Agnes. They'd come in and I'd be there, and we'd have like five or six or maybe seven or eight girls that come, and we say, just come for a visit. We'll take you down to Manila, and then we'll return you back so you can go to work that night. You won't miss anything. Okay. And sometimes literally just shaking, just trembling, because they've been told by the bar owners, don't trust wipe every tear. All that stuff that they have on their cards and everything, what they'll do, that's a front. It's all a lie. They're going to traffic you. They're going to put you in a brothel by lock and key, and you'll never leave that place. You'll never leave. Or they're going to put you in a container, a shipping container, put you on a ship and ship you overseas to another nation. Or number three, these were the most common things I've been told. Or no, they're luring you in for their own sexual gratification. They're going to sell you, and then they're going to kill you. And the fourth one that became the most effective deterrent was, don't trust wipe every tear. They are organ traffickers.
Oh, dear. So when you go in, like, everybody knows who you are. It's not like you're just playing
they now
real
do.
Low
yeah.
Key.
In the early days, they didn't know who we were. Now we don't hide. We go in there. We have cards that we pull out, and we pull them out, and we give them to the girls. And it says wipe every tear, and I'm telling you, it's a supernatural thing. They'll let us be in bars for hours. You know, you're buying drinks, you know, so you are patronizing them, and then you buy the girl a drink, and it doesn't necessarily mean alcohol. She may want a Coke or a mango juice, and she gets half of the, you know, half of the cost for that. So that's one of her commissions. That's how she earns money to send back to her family. And we sit there and we talk to them, and then we always have a Filipina girl with us, often girls who used to be in those bars. And so then they start in their dialect, their Tagalog language, la la makaratata, shibakaratata. You know, they're going back and forth, telling them, I used to be here. I used to be in these bars. It's true. And I have pictures. I pull out my phone, you know, and I show them pictures of me, you know, my family, Boise, Idaho, the snow, and, you know, my kids, my grandkids. And then it transitions into, you know, our safe house. I'm sitting there showing them, you know, and they're just all, sometimes I have two, three girls, five girls. They're all looking, you know. Your wife, she has blue eyes. They always notice the blue eyes. You know, the blue eyes is a big deal. And they'll say things like, your wife is so pretty, you know, and your daughters are so pretty. They're beautiful. And so you just start talking to them, you know, and then it settles down. They're drinking their Coke, or maybe they want a beer, you know, and we're just talking. It's all relationship. Yeah. And that's what we do. That's
the bar owners don't come up and say, excuse me, these guys aren't going to pay you for your services, so get to work. Because do the bar owners get a percentage?
Yeah, they do. They get half. They get half. The bar gets half of the cost. So right now it's about $90 to $100 inflation. Used to be about $50 or $60. And now it's $90 to $100, sometimes less. And the girl gets roughly 50% of that, and the bar gets 50%. And unfortunately, much of the sex trade in the world is you go out for an hour and you come back and you deliver back and it's done. Or you go upstairs for 30 minutes and you come downstairs. This, they buy her for all night long. And some of the stories of that, Agnes, are horrendous. We've had girls tell us, Lolo coach, grandpa coach. Lolo is grandpa in Tagalog, Filipino. Lolo, we went to his room and I was greeted by, there was five other men in there. And then the stories come. And without being graphic, just imagine one guy after another. And Agnes, we stay in these hotels, you know. This city caters to the sex trade. And recently I stayed in a hotel and I heard some stuff going on. And it was trafficking at its most worst evil level, where the girl was just screaming in pain. And that keeps me going, because I see these girls walk across the stage with their diploma, smiling, and then coming down afterwards and hugging me and saying, oh, Lolo coach, thank you. And, you know, all credit for us goes to God. God, all glory to God. We're just his vessels and his servants to say, yes, God, we want to serve the poor and the broken.
Just because we're talking sex here, what about babies and sexually transmitted infections, STIs? Yeah. Is that common, or
it is common? It's hidden. We used to say, I used to have a different answer. I'd say, no, surprisingly, there's not many STDs, but there are. What about babies? Yeah, the girls try to use condoms, but then a guy says, no condom for me. And she goes, I only do a condom. And he'll say, nope, I'm not paying you then. And now she's going like, $50 is a big deal. And so many of the girls get STDs. I don't know what those percentages are. There is a government health clinic for these girls only. I've seen it many times. In fact, it's right across from one of the hotels we use. It's right there. And you'll see the girls walking in all day long. They have to go in once a week and they get a check. And what good does that do with one day a week? Okay, you're clean today. You could be, and you have a customer tonight and you could be dirty, right? And for the next 6 days, even longer till you get your results back, for the next, you know, it takes a few days to get your results back. And so you have HIV, AIDS. In fact, we had a girl that had HIV in our care. And she was infected with HIV. And so there's a lot of that. And we help them. We take them to the doctors and you know, they all get checks. And the HIV patient, a great God story is she went and had checked and she was HIV positive. Didn't want to, and then what they do is they'll do a series of three checks over so many days apart, so many weeks apart. So she didn't want to go to her second check, and we said, no, you need to go. So reluctantly she went, and it came back positive. And so after that, I'll tell you, God is a powerful God, Agnes. And so it's the God of the Bible, and so we prayed for her. Our team there prayed for her. In the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we pronounce healing over you, dear so-and-so. It was very short. It wasn't very long. It wasn't, you know, it didn't 1 hour, 2 hours. It was just very, very short little session. Prayed for her. She felt nothing. She didn't feel any like warmth coming over her body or any, she wouldn't go and crazy. She didn't feel a thing. It was time for her to go back. She said, no, I don't want to go back. And we forced her to go. And where I'm going with this story is a good story. And she came out HIV negative. And we give all credit to God. It was just amazing. Just amazing. She couldn't believe it. She just said, Lolo, I'm clean. God healed me. Anyway, that, and so we've had, you know, we've prayed for all sorts of illnesses and ailments that our girls have. And we see God come and do some very good stuff. And at the very same time, we take them to the doctor. You know, if God doesn't do it, we're very practical. Then let's go to the doctor and let's get these things taken care of, you know?
Well, when you talk about the fact there's actually clinics for these girls.
Yes.
How stupid are these men? And I don't use that word very often.
Yeah.
But how stupid are they to not use a condom in case she's already infected?
I can't imagine it, you know? And, you know, by the way, I don't talk this way in my normal life. But you know what I do now is the sex trade, so it's such a different. I speak such a different language nowadays, right? So the guys will say, "No, the feeling is not as comfortable. It's like putting a glove on and shaking someone's hand, right?" I mean, not trying to be crude by any means, but you know, you go bare hands and you feel. So they will say no. Well, but I go like, "Are you really?" You're willing to risk, like I tell you, the thought of that is, I agree with you. I agree with you. But you know what? I don't know this, but I would say with the onset of some of these drugs now they're using to help combat some of the side effects and the onset effects of HIV and AIDS, full-blown on AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I mean, I know they've got it under control somewhat, but still, I mean, no. I mean, there's so many other things you could get too, right? It's like, and who knows what the next sexually transmitted disease is, you know? Yeah. But they do. And, you know, they're partiers. So you drink, you have a few drinks and, you know, your inhibitions start lessening and, you know, you go, I won't get it, you know, and you just, and you do your thing. Yeah. Stupid, like you said.
And I don't use that word. My kids were not allowed to use that word.
Yeah. Very unwise. Yeah.
Now, I think you've answered this very briefly earlier, but you say that you can't rescue girls without foreigners and Americans coming.
Yeah.
That's because of who's allowed in the bar, I take it.
Yes. Yes. Can you believe that? And so for your listeners, for your viewers, Agnes, I'm just sitting here looking right into the camera and saying, we need you. I'll be like Uncle Sam. We need you.
There's no camera. I'm sorry. It's only audio. But trust me, folks, he pointed right at me.
I'm pointing to the microphone. We need you. You're listening saying, are you kidding me? Yes. I mean, and by the way, it's, people say, is it safe? Like, how do you do this? Like I said, we've never been threatened. We have a safety protocol. We've been doing this for over a decade now. The bars enjoy us. They like us. We have favor with them. I mean, when we walk into a bar, they will look at us and they'll wave at us like, hey, coach. Many know me by name. Hey, coach, welcome back. I mean, we just fed them earlier in the day, right? They came, you know, and we took in, you know, 50 box meals in that little bar, right? And we fed them and we feed the mama-sans who are the managers, like that we call them pimps here, the mama-san. We feed the bouncers. Like we just feed everybody. They're all hungry. And so we go in with that. I'm not exaggerating. I go in just like I am with you right now. I go in like that. I don't go in like, oh boy, this is Traffickingville here. You know, this is evil, you know, do, 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 do. I walk in, I say, hello, everybody. You know, I clap my hands, you know, and just bring the joy of the Lord into the room. But those listening, as I'm pointing to my mic, We need you to come. And if they're interested, go to wipeeverytear.org. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, or you can call me.
You'll have time to do that later. It's okay.
I would give my cell phone number. Okay, I'll give that out at the end here, my cell number. People can just call me directly and say, I heard about this, and I don't know when you're airing this. We have a trip coming up in a couple of weeks. You know, maybe this is, you know, weeks down the road here, but and then we have groups. We have all men teams that go, which is very interesting in and of itself. And by the way, Agnes, a lot of women who come on our trips, they come from backgrounds where they've been either exploited or mistreated, to put it mildly, by family or friends or neighbors or other people. And they come, a lot of women come with a lot of baggage, and it comes out when they're there, because they get triggered, and we see great healing come in some of these women that come. We have young women, we have, you know, 20-year-olds come, and we have retired women and men and women come. And we've had some guys who have come and said, tears running down their cheeks, saying, this used to be me. I didn't think this would happen, but I'm feeling the emotions. I used to be one of those guys.
One of the customers.
Yeah. And we minister to those guys. You know, there's no condemnation. You know, we don't, there's no punishment for, you know, that's been done. God's forgiven you, you know? And so there might be people that are listening saying, wow, this sounds heavy. But I'm telling you, we have people get healed and just go like, I can't believe I came to the Philippines and God cleaned me up from all this guilt that was in my heart. I was holding it in, and now I'm set free. They came to set girls free, and they'll go like, and I was set free. I mean, okay. It's so good.
You mentioned young girls and retired folk. I looked at your application. There's a piece there that suggests there could be rigorous activity. Now, I had visions of fleeing in the night for your life with a girl under your arm. But what does rigorous activity mean?
We say that simply because we want them to know that, you know, we're going to be walking. And but no, there's no climbing mountains. I mean, on some of our trips, actually, we've climbed Mount Pinatubo, which is a volcano that blew in 1991. Actually, great story about the city and just destroyed much of the city. And there's an air base there the American air base that they left after that. And we've climbed that thing before. And that does take a little strenuous activity, but we don't do that anymore, at least on these trips. But no, I mean, you just have to be able to walk is all, you know. If you can walk around the park, then you can walk out of your hotel down to the bars and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay, so there'll be no fleeing gangsters.
No fleeing with two girls under each arm running from the traffickers. No, none of that at all. It's so different than what people are thinking. And a large part of that is that we just had this supernatural God part that has just protected us. And I'm just telling you, they like us. Most of these bars just really like us. They just welcome us, which is just crazy because they know that we're taking their girls out. The potential exists to take their girls out. But God is good. God is good. Jesus is wonderful.
I'm going to ask an awkward question here.
Yes.
Because you take girls out, they just get replaced, don't they?
Boy, that's another good question, Agnes. You know, and by the way, you've done your research. You went to our website. You listened to some other interviews. Maybe you listened to one with Eric Metaxas. I don't know. Maybe.
No, I listened to Miracle.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting that you found those. That's wonderful. So, what was your question?
You take girls out. You save them from this future. They get replaced.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do get replaced. And I've had people say this to me. here and a lot there. You'll have these men, you meet these men, you know. Oh, well, they're just going to get replaced anyway. And I go, and then I'm by the way, we're very nice, these guys. I'll say, that's right. They will get eventually replaced. Yeah, we'll see. And I go, do you have a family? Yes. A lot of these men are divorced, you know. And a lot of Americans live in Angeles City. A lot of Australians, people from the UK. So you're talking to these guys all the time. You see them everywhere. And I'll say, well, do you have a family? Yes. Do you have children? Yes. Sons, daughters? Yes, both. And I go, so if this was your daughter and she came into our care and we fed her 3 meals a day and we got her clothes and she went and got eye check, she got dental care, she got a medical checkup, and we took care of her over the next X amount of years and she graduated with a college degree, would you be grateful if that was your daughter? Oh my, there's often silence. And they go, I've had many guys say, good point. Good point, mate. You know, maybe they're from Australia. They got the Aussie accent. Good point, mate. Never thought about that. And they often say, these guys that are there for that purpose, they'll put their hand out and they'll say, thank you so much. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, coach. Thank you for doing this. As they are there in that bar doing what they do. But so, yeah, they do get replaced. But if it was my daughter, if it was my mom, it was my sister, I'd be so grateful that someone like Wipe Every Tear came in and said, hey, do you want a new life?
It's the story of the analogy of the sand dollar, I suppose, isn't it?
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. Well, there's millions of them. Yeah, but this one. And so that's what we do. We stop for the one at a time. Right now we have over 30 girls in our care and a whole herd of children. You know, we take care of the children too. And those girls are very grateful. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I bet.
I just had a girl, I just did a post on Instagram and Facebook just a day or two ago. And it was a picture of a girl at a waterfall. And she's got her hands up like this here, you know, she's for your listeners, you know, her hands are outstretched to the sky and I'm shooting from the back and there's a waterfall and we went on this hike. And the caption back then was something like, here is so-and-so, you know, we don't use their real names. And I said, she was found in a bar. She was trapped in a bar. And she's now in her third year of college with us here at Wipe Every Tear. And it came up. It does that in Facebook. Here's a memory. And I reposted it. And I said, I still am connected with this girl. And she's still grateful. And I just sent it. She sent me a message the next day. And said, hi, Lolo coach, how are you? And I thought, oh, man. Actually, she didn't write something. She put it on that post. And it was just so good, you know. And anyway, those girls are grateful. They're grateful.
So you'll never be able to retire, obviously.
yeah, that's right. Dear. You know, I'm 67 years old, be 68 in January, and I don't want to retire. I'm healthy as a horse. I mean, I still am active. You know, I can still do stuff, and I can walk and. Don't need to run away from the guys chasing us in the bar district, the red light district. And so I just want to really give my life to the Lord and for these girls and rescue as many as we can.
That might be a really good segue into with these missions. Do you take the unaffiliated? So people who do not follow God.
Absolutely. Yes. We are non-discriminatory. We don't. Yes. Anyone and everyone. We've had Mormon girls, Catholic girls. We've had Muslim girls. We'll take it. Everyone is valuable. It doesn't matter.
No, I meant on your missions. I mean on your missions. The people that go on your missions.
Yes. Oh, yes. That too. We just take people who go, like, you know, I may not be this, you know, you're talking about this Christian Jesus thing. That's not me, but I've had people say this. This is not a boastful thing. They say things like, you know, you don't sound like one of those religious thumper kind of guys. You sound like a guy that I think I'd maybe like to go on a trip with, you know, and meet your staff and whatnot. I mean, look, I'm wearing a ring, you know, I'm not trying to hit up on any women, you know, I've got a lovely wife here at my home and lovely children and grandchildren. And yes, that's a great question, Agnes. So you don't have to have any religious, spiritual background at all, but you know, we have an application and you know, you'll answer no to some of these questions. That's okay. And we'll just talk it over. And we'll get you on one of our trips. We would love that. We would love that.
Okay. Before we wrap, is there anything you want to add?
You know, I always like to take the opportunity, not a fundraising thing, not a donor support type thing, but I do know that there's just people. I've found this over the years that people say, like, I just want to know. I mean, I just need to know that you have a need. And so there might be people listening that go like, man, I would love to do that. I'd love to support these girls. I'd love to help buy food for them. I'd like to buy meals in Angeles City at less than $2 a hot meal. I mean, me and my office, my business, me and my wife, could we do that? You know? And yes, you know, we're always in great need. I mean, we send a lot of money over every month. It's like between $25,000 and $35,000 a month we have to send to the Philippines to take care of all of our staff, our girls, and pay for all their meals and their tuition and doctor visits and just taking care of them like you and I would like to take care of our own siblings, our own children.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I did have in my notes, and you were so busy answering all the things in my notes that I glossed over it. But there is a drop down on your website that is mission trips. And I did see some. Oh, there's a donate button.
And there's a donate button. Yeah, wipeeverytear.org. Just how it sounds, wipeeverytear.org. And you can see that there. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe someone's listening and go, can I just, like to talk to you. And some say, don't do this. You should never give out your number. But I do. My phone number comes right to my, you know, my pocket. 208-866-1967. Call me. I heard this podcast. I want to talk to you about this. I got questions. I would love to entertain your phone call. I may not answer it the first time because we get a lot of spam calls, right? And unsolicited calls. So you may have to leave a voicemail, but I'll call you back if I don't pick up. But I'd love to do that. I'm a practical guy. I love people. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. And I like to just do things that makes a difference in this world.
There you go. May I ask you a personal question before we wrap?
Yes, indeed.
15 grandchildren. Do you have a favorite part of grandparenting?
Oh, man. Something jumped off the page right away, but I'm going to give myself a second to kind of think through. It sounds so simple. That's why I hesitated. But when one of them... We have three living with us right now. They're my daughter Molly and son-in-law Jordan, and they're three girls. They're building a house, so they're living with us right now for a month, for like over a year. And when they come up to me and put their arm around me and lean into me and just say, "Hi, Papa. I love you, Papa." For one of your kids, one of your grandbaby to say, "I love you, Papa." Wow. That's everything to me, Agnes. Yeah. Everything.
I've only got five, but I will agree with you there.
It just is so wonderful. And I try to love my kids and my grandkids like God loves me, you know, just with such mercy and such grace and such forgiveness and such great love. So I really try to do that. And I fail, I fall short. All the time, but that's my goal, is just to love my kids well. Let's love them well.
There we go. I'll leave that pause. Okay. Your website link is in the show notes, and all your links and your phone number are on your page at our website.
Oh, thank you.
Listeners, probably you learned some unpleasant things today. Please talk to us. Did you know about sex trafficking? Kenny talked of his experiences in the Philippines, but it really is a global issue. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Share this episode. You may think you can't do anything yourself, but shares might bring this conversation to someone who can really help out. Leave stars and reviews where you can. They keep the algorithm goddesses happy. I remind you of that every week. You can support this podcast by buying me a coffee. That link is in the show notes and above Kenny's head on his page at our website. I'm registered at Substack. Following there is free. Kenny Sacked, thank you for being my guest today and explaining this ugly truth and helping us to understand we can all do something, even if it's just donating some cash.
Yeah. Thank you, Agnes. It's such an honor. And I truly mean that. It's an honor to be with you today and to be with your listeners. And if any of your listeners are prayers, we always say, like, we'd love to have you pray for us. There's such power in prayer. And we'd love to have you pray. And so thank you so much again, Agnes. It was such a joy to be with you today.
I'm only going to add one thing. And for those of you who don't pray, you can thank the universe for Kenny Sacked.
Mm.
Have a great rest of week.
Thank you so much.